Jeff, I'm drowning here. Say something.
Yeah.
You should have heard me when I was out there. Never mind. No, she shouldn't have. She might be dead.
Well, look at a mega church, you know, where there's thousands of people in the same building, right? And music and microphones and PA systems and evangelical messages and who knows, healing and snake biting. I mean, you know.
Right.
You can only be inhabiting your own experience. So even caring about others only can appear in your experience. So there's a certain kind of curious, we could call it an isolation, which is you're the only one in there. And I think that the instinct of that, whether we, you know, talk about it candidly or not, everyone has the instinct of it. Like, well, I'm the only one in here, and everything is truly appearing to me, right, apparitionally. I can't really inhabit anything or anyone else with the same confidence of animus that I inhabit myself. And so there's a certain fact of, I don't know if you call it isolation or loneliness or singularity. I mean, you can call it all kinds of things because we all go through huge breadth of experience from the point of view that we can't escape, which is, it's just me. So how do you end up with a megachurch? That's just one example, or even a Pebble Hill as a smaller example, of a bunch of it's only me, you know, doing a really rockin' kumbaya together, like at a Super Bowl game.
Yeah, same way you go to the circus.
Everything turns out to be, right, kind of a circus.
And everybody, in those really successful ones, unfortunately, it seems to hinge on a very specific belief.
That's right. So the only way to get everyone happy in the same room has to be a strong wave of some kind of hypnosis.
Yeah. Or, you go like the United States of America.
Regular.
It's the same.
Well, but I mean.
How early?
Yeah, I mean, early, you know, freedom of religion and all that stuff. I mean, you know, where basically everything was okay.
Well, it was. Yeah, I mean, the structure was intended to be embracing.
So, on a small scale, you have to come up. But who's going to support that? And the problem is people have vested interests. And you have to get past square one.
So far, if there is a species, it hasn't figured that out. Right? Because self-interest and accumulation and influence over others, dealing with the existential crisis that is unavoidable, it can be pretty gnarly. Nice. Rock and roll, Ruby.
Sure. Do you want any dressing with that?
Okay. In order to take a certain kind of journey, like a shamanic journey or a transmutative journey that has something to do with whatever we refer to as consciousness, you're forced to disentangle, right? And I think that, you know, what Lisa's bringing to the table is this part of the journey which invites, if not forces you, to disentangle from the greater orbs of consciousness that you might otherwise want to align with, to cope with the immediacy of your own existential puzzle. Just like withdrawing from the influence of the parents, or the influence of siblings, or the influence of having been treated poorly in some or a thousand ways, right? We have to disentangle from the calamity of what we think are externalized relationships from whom we get meaning, nourishment, and to whom we depend on for our own ease of being. Right?
This is your good one. And the salmon omelet.
Thank you.
And the Benedict is right here.
Benedict.
There he is.
There. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, there'll be less calories if the Benedict is over here.
Everything good? Anything else? Some more syrup?
Sure. I would love a side of ketchup.
Some ketchup and some syrup?
Okay.
Sir, did you have something?
Yeah. So, it starts with... It starts and ends with the person, with who I am.
It does. It starts and ends with that whatever experiencing is or isn't, you're the sole recipient or the sole inhabitant of it.
I mean, we're talking about fruits, vegetables, circle miracles and stuff, but...
Everything. I mean, it could be the relationship you have with the stuffed animals you still keep on your bed. I hear you.
I think that whole Kumbaya thing is about the desperation to not end up just as who I am.
That's a very interesting observation.
I mean, I think that's where a lot of Kumbaya comes from. Better pair up with other muggles.
Yeah, I think you might be right there.
Well, how did Genghis Khan get so successful?
His charm. I'm going to see that exhibit in Philly. His charm.
Who knows? Maybe he was, you know?
True.
Apparently, Hitler was very charismatic in the beginning.
So, Circle of Miracles exists as truly an externalized calamity from whom anyone might be seeking succor, nourishment, belonging. Pebble Hill, of course, is the same thing. I mean, the chaos of a night sky sangha could be the same thing, right? And that's, you could say it's unavoidable. If you leave the house to meet someone for a lunch, it's the same thing. Right? And it doesn't have to be a problem or a psychic ailment.
What do you mean it's the same thing?
The same thing, meaning that we socialize or go in search of, right, reflection. If I'm looking at you, it's a reflection, right? If I'm speaking or listening, hanging out, drumming, eating, right? It's reflection. Yeah.
People are thrust into wanting a relationship if they don't have one just because they've got it, they want that.
You know, Tom Hanks turned a soccer ball, right, into Wilson to satisfy the profound urgency for reflection.
Babies die.
If they're not.
Everything physical, they need more than that.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? The baby would thrive more from touch than from food. Right? So when we look at this kind of, fundamental waveforms for being, right, an inhabited, born, thriving creature, we go in search of imprinting, reflection, contact, biologic stimulation, because this is a cellular compilation, right? And what's really driving us is this cellular compilation is going in search of reflection and contact. Because what happens? Well, it thrives without, right, the reaching out and making contact and enjoying the profundity of harmonics, however those harmonics appear. We decline.
You can go all the way to California for it.
Sure. Yeah, I could even go to Doylestown. all the way to Doyle's? But if we mishandle the, what would you call it, the biologic urgency for reflection, for growth, for stimulation, for resistance, right, that assists us to thrive and nourishes us. If we don't handle it intelligently, we end up with the fucking human race. Yeah. You know, like you go to a 12-step meeting, let's say, and you'll hear a certain kind of conversation about people sharing an addiction. And so the emphasis is on the addiction that we share. You rarely in the group hear anyone talk about the wound that we share.
Which is the cause of the addiction.
Which is, turns out to be the cause of the addiction. And so if you're just managing this, if you're just managing the addiction or managing the symptom, and you're not getting deeply, profoundly, provocatively into the wound that we share, you'll manage the addiction forever, which is not a bad thing. But I think there's a deeper level of catharsis and revelation that's possible to understand the genesis of the addiction and treat the wound, not just manage the addiction.
Isn't that a set of the, a subset of the 12 steps? I don't know. I don't know the 12 steps. I mean, isn't there some therapy?
Oh, that shows.
Isn't there some therapeutic aspect of it?
I think you should have answered that.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was
in a way, it goes along with the stuff because step self-reflection and realizing that you're the actually the beginning and the end of.
No, it's just not so much working through your problems so much, it's just like seeing the problems for what they are. It's just you're using the problem to
You know, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, as much as they were breakthrough pioneers, were not that articulate with respect to, can I say, the more spiritual, ephemeral, etheric nature of the wound. Makes sense?
They do point out that the fundamental root of the issue is self-centered. Yeah.
Right.
Like Hederman does, and it makes a lot of sense.
Well then someone like Paul takes or expands upon this, the hint, the suggestion that self-centeredness is the fundamental dilemma, and then using Buddhism and the Course in Miracles and everything else that also addresses that issue, draws out the more poignant revelation of what self-centeredness is. Right?
And your average mobile in a 12-step group?
Yeah.
I should speak for myself.
Yeah.
Is at some point going to be convinced, oh my God, if I just get out of myself and help other people enough, then I can be okay.
Yes.
And I've noticed it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's traps.
There's nothing wrong with helping other people.
Nothing at all.
You can't necessarily get in a really deep way out of self-centeredness by reaching out to other people because you go with the reaching out. I want something as I reach out to other people.
Yeah.
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 That's kind of what you're saying is happening in heaven. All the people that are up there reaching out for what they want and not getting collected.
It's almost impossible to work harmoniously when you're coming from self.
Almost.
The toilet every time. When you're coming from self. But we're locked in.
Yeah.
Well,
pretty much.
The invitation here is, are you really locked in? Take another look. That's why I come here. It may not be so locked in.
The idea of wherever you go, there you are.
you know, geographical changes, whatever.
It's not possible for
that stuff that we think we are is fiction.
Let's say you put 100,000 Ramana Maharshis in Doylestown to run the place. It would end up with weeds and mosquitoes. You know? Everyone's just kind of like mandering around in diapers going, hey, Bob. Hey, Phyllis. God sure is beautiful today. Anybody hungry? Anyone got any food? No?
I have a diaper in my diaper.
Yeah, really?
My diaper change.
Yeah, really? Anyone got a clean diaper? Just imagine.
Starting to smell.
Ramana Maharshi wandering all over Doylestown. All the restaurants would close and the government would shut down. And, you know, if there were a blackout, no one would bother to fix the street lights. And everyone would be just hanging out in lawn chairs looking for peacocks. Hey, have you seen a peacock? Have you seen any peacocks? No, there are no peacocks here. Shit.
No, he did sell children's clothing and cigarettes, so he's okay there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in a kind of a curious dilemma that way, where you've got, let's just call it existential needs, biologic impulse for thriving, nourishment, expansivity, euphoria, awakening. What else? What the hell else is going on here? Right? It's certainly nothing that Taylor Swift is singing about. And so, but then we end up going into the family system, right? Into the educational system, into the employment system, into, you know, more mature so-called complex social systems, and we're malnourished. We can be malnourished by our family system and miserably alone and, you know, wounded and wounding and not having the vocabulary, not knowing how to care for ourselves or how to seek nourishment. And if the family system is not, let's say, sober and thriving in its own right, then any children that come into that family system are going to have quite a steep climb. And you could say that that's endemic to the, you know, to the culture. So then we, you know, what do we? We reach out and we try to find dignity. We try to find esteem. We try to, you know, thrive in the case of others. And because we're so maladaptive internally, then the relationships that we usually have or the substances that we reach to for euphoric excitation, they fail. Right? And we go through decades, perhaps, of failing relationship with people, failing relationship with money, failing relationship with self-care. And it becomes very easy then to turn our attention to externalized euphorics, because we can't handle, right, the demands of the maturing world. And so we check out. One way or another. And you wonder, even if there were such a thing as, you know, enlightened fucking mint, or whatever you want to call it, well, what does it do for you? Does it make the world right? Does it heal, you know, an institution like Pebble Hill? Seems that way. I mean, a guy walking around in a diaper, you know, petting peacocks all day, is not really engineering some kind of social improvement. What are you relying on him for? Yeah. And of course, if an ashram comes into being around someone wearing diapers, well, then you're instantly back in the, right, the politics of people and rules and management, what's permitted, what's not permitted, the movement of money, right? And so any and all ashrams, whether it's the United States government, the Supreme Court, Pebble Hill, or the local 12-step group, has really profound challenges. So maybe the cruel revelation is, oh yeah, this must be the golden age. Right? This is it. This is the golden age. Oh God, just as it is. Right? Heading straight into global warming and polar ice cap melt and rising oceans and destructions of the food chain and the whole, this is the golden age as we slip deliciously into total oblivion. That's the culmination of all biologic forms. They basically off themselves, saying, yeah, so long and thanks for the fish.
We transform into robots. Either way
is good. No. Ex machina. Or the singularity. Whatever solution someone's got planned for us.
Transform into robots.
Mm-hmm.
The merger of humanity and technology. I don't know. Oh. It's just another way to look at it. Instead of destroying ourselves. So, just making shit up.
Okay.
If you listen to... I don't know.
I thought that might have been the premise of some yet another...
It is. Well, it is, yeah. I mean, the whole... Look into the singularity movement.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And you'll see really, really evocative speakers and scientists and all kinds of people very, very excited about, right, the merger between biologic and robotic systems.
Demon
Seed,
that's the only one that I can think of.
Yeah.
Such a bizarre sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, you know, this is pretty much a microchip that's almost implanted in the head.
Yeah, we don't put the thing down.
Right? We're still using, call it gross sensual apparati, as in tactile selection mechanisms, visual and auditory mechanisms, so that there's a relationship between, right, the embedded knowledge and intelligence in the device and us. So our relationship is still externalized, right? This has to process through the senses to bring the data into utility. But how long will it be before this just is in here? And the data field is now an instantaneity.
That's a good...
Right? The merging of the consciousness of the two devices.
What was the Johnny Depp movie called? Transcendence?
Right.
Where he implants little things. He implants little things in the people's heads, and then and the humans don't like it because they feel controlled. But you're at the end, it's funny because like you're always controlled. You're not actually an independently operating. You know, we really want to fight for freedom. I want to be free to operate how I am, and you know, that's not true. So it doesn't really matter. So he's just trying to make a nice ecosystem by implanting, and everyone was connected. But that's how it already is. You know what I mean? So it's a metaphor.
It is very strange.
The series Person of Interest.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, does it really matter, you know?
So look at our the movement of disappointment with a Pebble Hill or myself, my partner, my car, right? My broker. Right? Disappointment reigns supreme because as an individuated creature, we are entirely at risk. And inertia tells us, you know, the laws of thermodynamics tell us that, guess what? It's Murphy's all around. Everything's going to break down. And will. And does. And so this agenda that we have for security, investing in security, assuring, sustaining, and maintaining security is in a fail-safe condition all the time because everyone and everything is not necessarily following our will pattern. So you're living as an individual, startlingly alone, as an individuated consciousness, startlingly alone, where everything can go south. And that panic, you know, is pervasive throughout the, you know, the morphic field of, we could say, human consciousness.
Anybody in a body is going to happen.
Yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
that thinks they're a body is going
to
happen.
It's pretty much welcome to the panic. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, it's the golden age. But you see, what can happen is that your own consciousness begins to shift, or you mature with respect to how you feed nourishment into the system and receive nourishment from the system. As that matures, it becomes more subtle, more intelligent, more evocative, more shamanic. Then the disappointment that we might have with ourselves or an institution like Pebble Hill will dissipate. Because that reflex to reach out and get nourishment elsewhere shifts so that the nourishment becomes the revelation of the bright.
Revelation of the what?
The bright.
Bright? Even in a basement.
Even in a basement. Even in a basement. The revelation of the bright is, this is the golden age. How could it be otherwise? Who or what's in control of how this miracle of bright expression has unfolded? We have a lot of complaint, and, you know, I'll get the chalkboard and we'll just fill it up in about 2 seconds, right? What, you know, you have to speed right to fill the chalkboard with everyone's complaint. But even in the midst, even in the midst of all the complaint, this is the bright. This is the golden age. Consciousness is fully matured, fully expressed, fully enlightened.
These are the good old days.
These are the good old days. And now, and that's the shift that, if we're lucky, right, gets lit. That the fuse to that gets lit. And so the quarrel that we have with circumstances and events is going to go through a transmutative filter, a transmutative process, as this wakes up to itself in a transhuman manner. Which then means I can be just as disagreeable as I've always been with Pebble Hill Church, but I don't really care because I'm the fucking bright.
Yeah. And so are they.
And so are they.
Assholes,
that's so. Right. And
you
so we
know
we
it.
And
they
so
can
we
still be assholes.
Yeah. So we can fight and criticize and play political games of influence, but it's like it's everyone's in. I mean, everyone's loved. It's just the bright. But that only happens when any one of us wakes up out of the imaginary bubble of individuation as a unit, as a person, as a body. So you wake up out of the bubble of individuation as a discrete packet, and you're, oh, fuck, I'm the bright. Quarrel with everyone, yell at everyone, pull everyone's chain, you know, hide the shoes. When they go into the meditation hall, throw everyone's shoes on the roof.
You can't tie all their shoelaces together.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But as long as we're invested, as long as we're still in the system trying to give or get nourishment from other, then they're going to disappoint us. Right?
Maybe I'm just
somebody's bound to disappoint you.
Someone is
the
bound.
The risk manager is just a little concerned that if I decide I am the brain,
yeah,
then, you know, I might turn into BM.
Just what?
That's my initial for somebody. I just realized. It's that initial. The person's initial is BM.
You really get to the core and you see
no, then I might turn into like a little.
You meant a person. BM.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that. It wasn't a good thing. It's the initials of somebody at Pebble Hill who's
Barry
very, very like. And I just realized that was their initial, so that's why I said that.
Basil Mathbone. No.
Oh. Mathbone?
Yeah.
Big Maha.
Yeah. You can have.
In other words, that I'll become like a little like. What was the guy?
Oysters.
Yeah. I don't know. Genghis Khan, like a little Genghis Khan. You know what I mean? Lisa's version of Genghis Khan.
See, any fear that arises in your consciousness, and we know there's millions of those to still be had.
Right?
Is a projection or a reflection of a misunderstanding. All in any fear is a projection of a basic misunderstanding. You're not at risk. You only imagine yourself to be at risk because you don't see that this is the bright, the unharmable bright. We see through the lens of body, mind, birth, person, right? The singularity of self. That's why fear arises. The singularity of self equals fear. Doesn't cause fear, is fear.
Okay. I see. Because if you are in the grave, you have no interest in being a Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Or you don't really care.
You might not mind. Yeah.
I'm still the bright.
Yeah.
And this is kind of fun. Bow, bitch.
Right.
Now go Genghis, kill everybody.
Genghis on, yeah.
Really. Get to work.
Let's have breakfast and then let's kill a bunch of people. Let's expand the perimeter.
Let's have mimosas and shoot people.
Really.
Genghis Charlie Manson.
As soon as we're done with breakfast, we'll expand the perimeter. Yeah. See, this is very interesting. We think that as a so-called person, I suffer from fear. No, you are fear. But wait, no, I still want to be myself because I am the shit after all, but I'm tired of being afraid. Sorry, doesn't work that way. Individuation, the imposition of individuation, which is the meaning that is given by, quote, you, not that there is you, but as long as individuation is the functional interpretation of this miracle, that equals fear, is fear.
You're fucked.
It's not like you suffer from fear. That's the suffering from fear is the imagination of what we call ego as self, right? Being on the receiving end of everything that's going on. Separate from, individuated, suffering from all of these maladies. No. As long as individuation is the primary interpretation of the bright, you are fear.
I mean, I'm seeing it as separation and the bright. I mean, it's like, and the extent that there's no bright is the extent of fear. I guess that boils it down.
The words are always, interchangeable. Because you can assign anything to anything that, blows out of your mouth.
It almost sounds like assimilation and merging. The only way for fear and self to
exist. Before, assimilation and merging appear as a solution to the myth of individuation. The individuation stops. There is no assimilation and merging.
Oh, so there's this gap between separation and who joins them.
Yeah, see, you're too late. But that's what the species.
But that's the thought process.
Well, that's what all the religious figures are trying to sell.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell, now that you are suffering from fear, tithe a little bit in this direction, and we'll assist you in relieving fear. You're like, no, it doesn't work that way. It never has.
It's simply...
I mean, look at all the cardinals and the bishops and the pope and everybody else that should be, right? Miraculous demonstrations of freedom from greed.
They put their whole freedom life into what they do, supposedly turn it over to God.
Yeah, they put their whole self into it, so it just becomes a larger self.
No, yeah, it's just, fear on steroids. Oops. Oh, well. Cancel on the Christianity. You see how curious a dilemma it is? once any confidence is placed in individuation as the principal interpretation of this, fear is fear, not suffers from, is. Then it wants to do assimilation and merging, or it wants to do Raja Yoga, or, you know, Bhastrika, or all kinds of weird shit, so that it can relieve itself from fear. Not happening, because all you're doing is adding to the inventory of the original misunderstanding. So the revelation then is not, has nothing to do with merging or assimilation. It's weirder than that. You see, you're all.
It can't be such a basic philosophical and thought-filled process. That's just crazy.
That's crazy. The revelation of the bright by the bright, as the bright is the bright, and that just happens to be what this is—the golden age. That's really strange. So this hint. This kind of vector of individuation is really just a reflection of the profundity of experiencing itself, isn't it? Experiencing is so. Something is so. Call it experiencing. I don't know what to call it, you know. Boston cream donuts, good. But does it need to individuate? Does it need to convince itself of being an operating, disparate creature? Experiencing is so. What is it? I've never met anyone that knows. No one knows what it is. And we don't really need to know what it is by virtue of representation. Like, I can call this a cup. Now I know what it is. Oh, but cup. But no, it's right. I mean, isn't it a weird textural bizarritude that's appearing in, right, what we call experiencing? And everything is just...
I have to pee. That's a period.
Oh, that's a dilemma.
I don't have to. Well,
no, everybody's got
to. You just have to find another table to sit at.
It's a universal. I'll sit over there. Universal.
Really.
By myself.
Go sit over there by yourself. You'll be happier.
Shunned.
You'll be happier.
The shunning has started.
Yeah, really. Well, you shunned us.
You're really sleepy.
That's a funny place to be, man.
You're not behaving well today.
You start talking about I just shot
you. Really?
Bird being out of the sea. Nobody wants to sit next to you today.
Like Passover
thing,
that's right. For what's his name?
Elijah.
An empty seat for Elijah.
Did you finally get? I woke up and I saw your post. I didn't know if you. I figured you'd stand away home.
It wasn't easy.
She was feeling under the weather.
Yeah, she came back from camping and.
Oh, she camped?
Well, they went cabin camping up in Land's End, or World's End State Park.
Oh. Okay.
Where's that? Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She didn't get any sleep. You know, she was exhausted. She thought she could pull it off, but. When it came time to get in the car, she was like, I can't move. I'm sorry, I can't move.
So, you get, public transportation or limo? Or?
Not at that hour. I mean, you could call a limo, but, it would take 3 days for it to come and get you.
It cost you a couple $100s.
Yeah. I went. I rented a car.
Oh, okay. The trains don't start running until like...
Not at that hour.
Sunday morning, they don't start until like 7:30, 8:30.
Yeah.
So you went to California, Beth went camping? Is that it?
She only went camping the last couple days.
Oh, well, same here, want coffee?
I'm good, thanks.
I'll take water.
Yeah, water.
Sorry, I don't see... When I get to camp, I don't sleep well either.
Right.
How much
the car rental was like $30.
That's not bad.
Then, instead of returning it to the airport yesterday, I brought it back to Doylestown, so they charged me a drop-off fee. He's like, okay.
Well, that's cheaper than taking a car.
Yeah,
I met somebody, and she told me that's how she gets herself to the airport. She rented a car.
And leaves it there.
Yeah, in Phoenix. Like, yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Probably cheaper than taking a taxi.
It's definitely cheaper than taking a taxi.
It is, yeah.
So you saw the standard crew out there?
That's kind of good to know.
Yeah, more or less. Mm-hmm.
Was Peter doing some kind of a retreat right after that? Because it sounded like Lulie was making some reference. I think she posted some picture of that property.
He's in Seattle today. Oh. Yesterday and today.
Oh, okay. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is. I
went to
him yesterday.
You stayed with Brent? Oh, you stayed at his house. Brent gave you a place.
But
uh-huh.
You
go to his website or something? Did you like the lemon pie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, my
favorite.
If you can articulate, not just verbally, but experientially is obviously where it really counts. That all that's appearing is of the nature of a fog with random assignment. I mean, an incredibly highly pixelated, sensate, apparitional beatitude with assignment, mental assignment, mental association, right? The mental association is reflexive. It's instantaneous. But we mistake the mental assignment for what's real. When it's not, it's just a randomization.
And you know, I've noticed that sometimes I'll note things and then I'll proceed with time and then I'll find that something I noted before, there's some fruition to it, or I think, oh, I should pick that up, I'll need that later. It might be just boom, bleeding, and I ignore that thought, and I do need it later. Or I'll actually pay attention, and yeah, I do need it. I mean, it seems to be more often than not. And it's just this mystery of what is that all about? Is it just, I mean, certainly, you know, scientific approach to be, well, even new. I mean, it's almost like your future and the past in reverse. You know what I mean?
There's yeah.
This whole mix up of things. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what it does for me is to take those moments seriously. I mean, to actually say, this is something I shouldn't ignore. And,
yeah.
You know, for maybe that's what intuition is.
Yeah, intuition is a word that we use that reflects upon the fact that the future and the past are not what we thought the future and the past were. Yeah, yeah, because you're peering into the holographic nature of experiencing itself, and you can't really parse a continuum that goes from past to present to future because intuition breaks the code. Doesn't it? Intuition breaks the code. Intuition subsumes physics, and so we don't know what to call it. We call it intuition. So any and all of present experience, even if it's mundane, even if it's predictable, even if I'm grumpy, is you have not really fucked with the miracle.
Well, as soon as you break something like that, break some structure that you had in mind,
yeah,
the whole thing starts to break.
There you go. That's right. So that's the
glass window.
Exactly. I mean, that's the revelation of the bright, revealing itself to itself as itself with no other. It's the intensity of the cacophony that confuses us. Because we think this is about the many, not about the one. And we place ourselves as a creature amidst the many. It's not that easy, is it, to withdraw or retreat from the implication of the many as a creature and go back to the initial miracle, which is the bright, the non-causal, the a-causal. But how far away is it? What? It's at Ramana Maharshi's ashram, but it's not in my coffee cup. It's not the case. So if we're having a conversation, then this one, you could say it's a kind of a cooperative, call it sensitivity training, or a cooperative refocusing of the miracle of awareness itself to withdraw from the confusion of the many. Right? In a sense, rolling back from the extroverted confusion of the many into this, back to this existentially confused singularity of self to ignite as the bright. Which is nonstop. The many implies space-time. And that just comes with. I mean, that's part of the explosion of profusion, permutation.
How was food, guys?
Good.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else I can get for you? More coffee?
Salted bologna.
Good. There's more water in there. I think it is a pancake.
It's a salted bologna.
Why do you
have it? Yeah, the water's almost gone. We can have a little water.
No problem.
What do they call it?
Salted bologna.
Oh, you get an ice. Yeah, I can't wait. Can I get an ice? Do you ice coffee?
Ice coffee?
Can I get an ice coffee? And
I'm from my house. I have some cream cheese. Put some cream cheese.
Can I try a little?
Yeah. A little coffee on the
moon.
I think it makes difference. We call it a salted
bologna.
Oh, the hotness is really good.
Okay.
Right. It's what they put instead of a bagel.
Oh, okay. You and your hot mess. Yeah, unfortunately it came.
That stuff was powerful.
I know, I should probably not ever order
it's
that again.
Really powerful.
It's like heroin in my living room.
It feels like
for $11 a package. I'm like, that's bad. That's really bad.
Would you get salvia or something?
Creative. It's a mixture of gynus pisciosa or something like that. Yeah. It's not good. It's like,
it feels like taking a Percocet or something.
Yeah. Depends how much you take. Like, yeah. It can be kind of up to. The first time I did it, I was like, oh my God.
You can't sleep.
It would, yeah. It's like, it comes with an edge. It's related to a coffee.
Is it plant or synthetic?
It's a plant. It's a plant. It's illegal in Thailand.
What is it?
Where I'm guessing what workers that were out in, like, I mean, if you're out in, like, a hot field, you start chewing on these leaves, all of a sudden you feel really good. You get a little sweat that cools you, but you have energy like a coffee. Like you just drank a huge coffee.
Sounds like a perfect summer drink.
Yeah.
No. It's just a different type of leaf. Depends on the eBay or something. Because I bought it from Amazon.
Yeah.
But now they don't sell it on Amazon anyway.
You've enjoyed it.
God, you can just stick it in your morning smoothie. I'm like, oops, teaspoon there, like coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know how good that is.
It's sort of mildly
warm. Oh, I would like some water, please.
Coffee is great.
There's no doubt about it.
What is it saying? 88. And it's going to be hot at all.
Please put it in a drink.
I thought you were not going to be salted.
Do you guys want to? If you guys want to come to the pool, I'd love to show off my little flower.
I would. It's not like.
Thank you.
It's not like I thought you might invite us or anything. We got baby suits and
stuff. When everything works out, if everybody would just do what I wanted, they would take the world. Yeah.
Let's go to Pebble Hill and spray paint that on the wall.
You are an instigator, aren't you?
Now, if everyone would just do what Lisa wants them to do, the world will be a happier place. Now Pebble Hill has only one principle to live by instead of 16.
Love Mini Hitler.
I think we're on to something, right?
I think that would prevent her from going to travel again.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that letter that you sent to Sharon and the others.
Right.
What's behind that? What prompted that? There had to be something that you don't know.
I just saw Mrs. President.
I assume he was dressed in
Hillary Clinton. But you know, that it went way, I'm sure, when these goofy people, I mean, they're just going to attack you. But was there something, and did she say, hey, you should come to the meeting or something like that? Well, then what the heck? It didn't come out of nowhere.
Jeff got caught in the web. He's human too, or humanoid.
See, I can justify everything, right?
Good. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
He's a mystic. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuck in a salvia, Bardo.
Yeah, he's a little crazy still.
I hear harmony.
Yeah.
They don't stop.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I want to ever see his costume. He's a little bit...
Who is that?
Brian Wilson.
It's just a way of contributing to the, you know, overall, you know, malaise of a place that's stuck in a certain kind of consciousness. That's all. It's just, you know, consider it a little love orb or a hand grenade, depending on how you, you know.
It's more or less what I was pitching about earlier.
Right. Yeah, it is. I can see that.
No community wants, can, not necessarily wants to, can cop to its own irrelevancy to see that its decline is, you know, will compromise the host. So the consciousness is pervasive at Pebble that spins off of constructive people, creative people with actual money to contribute to the place is a kind of a self-immolation, not necessarily in a good way. And so it's like, hey, you know, your game plan's not succeeding, and clinging to that game plan is going to likely compromise, right, the sustainability of possibility. And but that's a good lesson for any of us. I mean, that's, you know, if I'm in an addiction or recovery thing, or if I'm in a spiritual thing, the basic lesson is, oh, fuck, the game plan, my game plan, not working. Right? My game plan, no, not working. If I don't figure out how to submit myself to my or a higher power, and soon... this system's going south. It's the same metaphor. And you can't obviously bring someone to recovery that's not ready by virtue of their own miracle to be there. So I'm, you know, somewhat aware of that. And so if I throw, you know, a little love bomb into the Pebble community, It's meant, you could say, as kind of like an invitation. Come on in, the water's fine, knowing full well that unless someone is ready to seek and take a knee to some kind of higher power, Maybe I do it so that in a couple of years, if they lose the property, I could say I told you so. Because I really love those. I love those. I told. I love those. I told you so.
Well, I'm a big I told you so party.
This one's been like 10 years in the making. It's like.
No, but Jeff, they'll just figure out some way to blame it on you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, right. In this case, Lisa's really? My bodyguard.
I'm really thinking about it.
What do I can put in my face?
I was actually having a milkshake.
I can pinch myself.
You know what I mean?
What'd you get?
Anything else, guys?
What is that drink?
Ice coffee.
Really?
Not an ice coffee?
No. Do you have iced decaf coffee?
Way to go.
I would love an iced decaf.
Okay. No problem.
I could order french fries without any water.
Okay.
And do you have sweet sugar? Like syrupy, sweet sugared or sweetened iced decaf coffee?
No, we only have those.
Sweet or sugar?
What do you mean? We'll skip the iced decaf coffee. I need to make it sweet and it wouldn't work. That's okay.
Okay, so you still want one?
Yeah, this is yummy, you guys. Does anybody want to try this?
What is it?
Anybody?
It's called a hot mess.
That's kind of like all of us.
Nobody's ever ordered the hot mess.
Really good.
It's real nice.
Oh, my God. Try it, you guys.
I don't want to try it up there.
Okay. It's like a hash brown with cheddar cheese and sour cream and jalapeno.
I'm going to get that on. Just eat the fried egg on it, and then it would be perfect.